The word today is memory. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. We all have memories. Some memories may be good, while others are bad. We can look to the Bible and modern-day examples to see the impact memory can have. Hear from our archives to show us how memory functions in our lives is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Memory.
There are several things in the Bible that sound like a paradox to us. Now, a paradox is something that sounds contradictory, and yet both statements are true. Let me give you a little example of that, because I'm going to be talking about a paradox today. We're going to be talking about memory. And, of course, the Bible says both ways. It says, forget the past, put your hand to the plow, don't look back, move forward. Now, that's an excellent teaching in God's Word. Yet there are other places where it says to remember the past, learn from it, benefit from it, so that we don't make the same mistakes again. And so that sounds like a paradox. An illustration would be to say, move forward, and on the other hand, wait, and make sure your judgment is right before you move forward. Those sound like contradictions, and yet both statements are positively true. I often think about the hand of God. You know, the Bible tells us that when you think of the hand of God as one of his children, as a believer, you think of his comforting hand, his healing hand, his guiding hand, his directing hand, that he is guiding and leading you. It's such a comfort. But when, if you're in rebellion and you refuse to repent, you think of the hand of God like the hand of God was heavy upon David when he refused to repent and ground him down and pulverized him. See, the hand of God, if you're looking at it from the viewpoint of an enemy of God, someone who refuses to repent, someone who refuses to do God's will, then the hand of God can be a mighty and a crushing barrier. On the other hand, if you are repentant and seeking to serve God in a positive way, then when you hear about the hand of God, it's comforting, it's tender. He embraces you, he protects you, he guides you and leads you, he heals you. So I want to look at this business of memory from two points of view. Let's first of all look at it from a bitter point of view. Now I mentioned it's going to sound like a paradox, but both things are going to be true. Sometimes memory is bitter, sometimes memory is sweet. Both are true. In an art gallery in Belgium, there's a painting of Napoleon, and it depicts him, Napoleon, in hell. And he is confronted by all of the spirits that he had murdered and killed and tortured, and it shows him in a bitter, bitter experience in hell, because all of his evils that he had done in his lifetime are being played out there against him in hell. Now, that's merely an artist's rendition, and I'm not trying to speak negatively against Napoleon necessarily, because there certainly is a lot of history there, and he certainly was a great conqueror. But he did a lot of things that weren't too good also. Well, let's take a situation in the Bible. There was a king. He was a monstrous man. He was truly an evil man. He was king of the Canaanites, and you remember when the Israelites came against him. His name was Adonai Bezek, A-D-O-N-I-B-E-Z-E-K. What a strange name, Adonai Bezek. But the Bible talks about him as being such a cruel man that whenever he overcame in a fight one of the kings of Israel, he would always do the same thing as a torture of them, and to humble them and show that they were slaves to him. He would always cut off their big toes and their thumbs. Now, at first that sounds kind of odd and different, But that's what he did. He would cut off their big toes and their thumbs, and the result would be that they'd have to grovel around, you know, for food and things in a almost animalistic way because they couldn't use their feet and their hands as they once properly had been able to. Now, it's interesting because as the ages roll along, Israel at one point captures Adonibezek, this king. And guess what they did? And as a matter of fact, he is quoted in Scripture as realizing from his memories of the past, let me quote him, "As I have done, so God hath requited me." In other words, as I've done to others, now I'm getting the penalty. God has seen to it that the same thing happens to me. And so what did they do? They cut off his big toes and his thumbs. Now, there's a case of bitter memory. Every time he looked at his thumbless hands and toeless feet, he recalled that was exactly the bitter memory he had of how he had treated the kings of the Israelites. Well, okay, let's think of another one. You remember Peter. Peter, the great man of God, in fact, after his confession that he loved the Lord and served the Lord and that Jesus was true God, that he was the Messiah, he was told that the faith he had confessed, the statement of faith, was the foundation, the Petras, the rock. And he was given that name, Peter, Petras, rock. Upon your faith, this type of faith, I will build my kingdom. And yet Peter had a memory. You remember this great man of God who once had walked on the water to come to Jesus and so on, in his moments of great faith, he wept bitterly because Peter remembered he had denied his Savior. He had denied Jesus. When he felt he was going to be in danger and maybe captured, and he was identified as one of the followers of Christ, he tried to deny it. He said, "I don't even know who this man is. I'm not his follower." Well, he remembered that later on, and he wept bitterly, a bitter memory. Well, I'll tell you, I could go on. We could talk about Judas and how he went out. He was so bitterly overwhelmed by his sin that he didn't even repent. He hung himself. He was a man of perdition. And you could find many other cases. I don't want to end here before we get to the sweet memories. Now, there's a modern-day art painting in the art gallery in Belgium. Let me use another modern-day, the Taj Mahal. I've been to Agra, India, and I've seen the Taj Mahal. It is startlingly beautiful, marvelously beautiful, and it was built by her husband to show that his wife was faithful. It was a memorial to his wife for being a faithful, wonderful woman. Now think of that sweet memory every time you look at the Taj Mahal. But I want to use a scriptural one also. Think of St. Paul. Now you can read in the writings of the New Testament, Paul writing to the Corinthians, Paul writing to the Philippians, Paul writing to the Colossians, Paul writing to the Romans. You know, you can go on and on and on. And Paul had many, many, many sweet memories. Now, certainly he had other memories in his life that he could recall too, but God had led him through all those, and it blessed him so marvelously that he likes to remember the good things that these congregations did, and he will often talk about them. As a matter of fact, a good case in point, at the end of his epistle to the Romans, is that he mentions a number of people that he remembers, and he mentions them by name. There's one guy named Urban, U-R-B-A-N-E. Another guy, N-A-R-C-I-S-S-U-S. Narcissus, apparently you pronounce it. Another guy that he individually points out by the name of Rufus, R-U-F-U-S. So the point I'm trying to make here is that in your memories, now let's get to ourselves personally here. In our memories, There are no doubt things that we can learn from in the past that we remember bitterly. Maybe something that happened in our youth, maybe an accident, maybe a tragedy, maybe the death of our parents. There could be all kind of things in our memory, and yet let's not get stuck in those memories. Let's learn from them. Let's realize that God wants us, as the Bible also says, to put the past in the past. Once we've learned from it, let's move forward. Let's realize that God wants to take us forward. Don't dwell in the past. You know, some people seem to have a way of living in the past. That's not good at all. The past is gone. We are here now, and we should benefit from the lessons we learned from the past. But I'm sure there are also many sweet memories, fond memories of loved ones, family members, true friends that remained faithful to you throughout your life, friends that helped you. Maybe they helped you get a job. Maybe they helped you find the partner that you're married to in life. Or maybe they helped you in some financial way when things were really tough and you didn't know where to turn, yet you fondly remember, well, so-and-so helped me and they really blessed me by giving you financial aid and financial help. And so all in all, I think memories crowd our minds. Sometimes our mind is so full of memories that we have to pray, God, please, God, give me some peace from all my memories. I know that there are so many decisions to make, so many things to think about. Sometimes your mind is filled through all the problems of the day and all the memories of the day that you have to say, please, God, grant me peace, grant me sleep. Let me get rid of all these bothersome memories and let me remember that you're going to give me a peaceful night and be able to rise in the morning to serve you again. So whether your memories are bitter or sweet, turn them over to the Lord. He will bless. He will use them in a positive way in your life. And they will be things that will help guide you day by day as you look toward the future. And as you plan toward the future, so that your future will be even better than the past. God is with you. He will care for you. He will protect and save you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.